Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joe Sheehan, SI Baseball America, and the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter. Joe, how's your quarantine going? How are you?
Pretty quiet, guys. Just doing what I'm supposed to do. Sit on my couch and not watch sports.
Yeah, there's not much to watch, right? We'll watch the draft here in a couple of weeks, and that's about it. You know, Joe, obviously there's been a lot of reports today about the possibility of baseball maybe coming back in May or June in Arizona. We just had Joe Smith on, the Astros relief pitcher, former Indians relief pitcher, and, you know, he says he's hearing a bunch of things, but he doesn't know how realistic it is. I mean, everything's written in pencil, but how realistic does this plan sound to you?
It doesn't, and I think you make the most important point here. You know, we're hearing these things that are half-baked. I think in a perfect world, we would not be getting these leaks that we're getting, because we all jump on them, right? We all want sports to come back. We want to watch baseball. But we're getting the half-baked plan. It's, you know, somebody comes over for dinner, and you cook something, and, you know, you bring it out an hour early, and everybody gets sick. Well, this is us today, getting all sick on this plan, because it's just not fair to MLB. It's not fair for us to be dunking on a plan that was never meant to be public. So, no, I mean, you know, Jeff Passan's got to do his job. Jeff's a friend, and I don't blame him for reporting this. But we really got to start looking and say, hey, look, this is not something that they're saying they're definitely going to do. And Joe Smith, you know, I think it's interesting. He's a veteran guy. He's made a couple bucks in the game. I'm sure he wants to play. The players as a group want to play. The owners want to put on games. Fans want to watch. But at the individual level, I think a plan like this illustrates the problems when you start talking about individual players. This is a much different plan if you're a 22-year-old who's never made any money and, you know, excuse me, he wants to get the service time, he wants to play, he doesn't have a family to worry about, versus, say, a 36-year-old who's got a couple of kids and a wife at home, or players, you know, Gerrit Cole's wife is pregnant, she's due in June. And you say to him, okay, now you got to go live in Arizona for 4 months. At the individual level, I think this plan is going to break down.
Yeah, it most likely will. I don't know. It gave us hope today to start the show off, and you know, we'll see where it goes. I guess I'd say this much, Joe. I like the idea of some of these rule changes. I don't know how old school you are about some of this stuff, but if it gets us to the point where we can, I love the idea of having a balls and strike called by a computer. You probably hate that. I'm not sure if you do or don't, but like that's a good idea. I like the 7-inning double headers. That could be fun. Again, I don't know if this happens, but if we could get some of those changes, I would like that. What do you think about those changes?
Well, I'm a huge fan of having balls and strikes called by the whatever system you have in place, the Hawkeye system they have now.
Yeah,
taking that away from the umpires. To me, the basic thing for me is the pitch should be called based on where it crosses the plate, and too many pitches now are called based on what the catcher does. That's just the one fundamental breakdown that I'd like to see change. So my problem with doing it now is that this system might be better than the umpires right now, but it certainly still needs work. We saw that from the Atlantic League experiment last year. They were going to use it in the Florida State League, A-ball, this year. If you rush this into play in these, you know, Arizona stadiums or wherever you end up doing it, I think you could create a backlash that pushes, you know, fully transitioning to this back 10 years. Yeah. So if you put this system in too quickly and create that backlash, I think it'll be a net negative. You mentioned the 7-inning doubleheaders. I got into a fight with Bill James maybe a year ago. I said, maybe not in my lifetime, I'm 49, but before the century is out, I think baseball games will be 7 innings. Because I think you're just not going to have people want to be at the game for 3 hours. I think that's going to be something that's not going to – you're not going to be able to bring people in. So I think the actual length of a baseball game will be 7 innings. Talk about 7-inning doubleheaders. Why not just play 7-inning games this year? Because we already know we already know that starting pitchers are going to be limited when you come back. It's going to be a shortened spring training no matter what you do. And guys, the longer it takes to bring back the season, the more these guys basically just reset to an off-season mode. So if you're just going to play 65, 70 games anyway, and I think that's the most they're going to be able to get in. I say, I don't think this Arizona plan is going to happen. Just decide, you know, we're going to play 7-inning games this year. It'll put less wear and tear on the pitchers in a shortened season anyway. Less injury risk. We'll change the rules and say you can get a win for 4 innings, but who cares? Because it's not like we're going to look at the statistics for this year and be all excited about them. But just try it. 7-inning, forget doubleheaders. 7-inning, all games, 7 innings. Also, too, you don't have the problem of having 55 9-inning games and 23 7-inning games. I think that creates a problem. If you're going to play 7-inning doubleheaders, just play 7-inning games.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I actually, I don't like the idea in the long term, although I don't disagree with you that it could happen down the line because, you know, Joe, you and I are basically the same age. I'm 48, and we're like the last, probably the last generation of diehard baseball fans, right? So,
yep.
You know, once we get into our 60s and 70s, baseball is going to, right, I have to make some dramatic changes. But I'm on board with it for this year, certainly. Listen, I'm open-minded to anything. We all want sports. We don't know what the calendars are going to be or look like. And whatever it takes to get baseball in the field, for me, I'm open-minded to it all this year. Anything.
Well, I think I want to say that I'm willing to talk about on-field changes, but I think I'm not a whatever it takes guy because, you know, baseball players are young and athletic and in good shape, and there's a certain amount of risk though they can bear without it being great risk. And they're all well paid,
right.
They're all well insured, but to put on a baseball game, an individual baseball game, still requires an awful lot of people that get paid $75 a game plus tips. You know, some people get paid in compliments, and I think you've got to protect those people as well. And not only do you have to protect them, you have to make sure you have to worry about what they do when they leave the ballpark. You know, you're still going to need a certain amount of security in the ballpark. You're still going to need clubbies. You're still going to need umpires and groundskeepers and a whole lot of people who, you know, don't make a minimum of $500,000 a year. And any plan that we're talking about is going to put a lot of those people, you know, at greater risk. So I think that's the biggest barrier now. And also the testing issue. Look, I don't know where we'll be with testing in 6 to 8 weeks, but I know that right now there's not enough tests for people who are symptomatic, for asymptomatic, for on the front lines. And I don't like the idea of taking 2,000 tests and shunting them to a bunch of young, healthy people. So I think that's a problem as well.
It's a great point, Joe. And when I say, let me clarify, because when I say whatever it takes, I don't mean, you know, I don't want to put on baseball if it's going to put anybody at risk. I mean whatever it takes in terms of on the field, in terms of rules.
I didn't mean to put words in your mouth there.
No. I know you didn't. I just wanted to clarify because obviously, it's a scary situation out there, and everybody's health has to come first, and the safety of all citizens has to come before anything else, right? As much as we love sports and as much as we miss sports, that's it. When they do come back, you say you don't think the Arizona plan makes a lot of sense. When they do come back, if they play the 60, 70 games, do you think, though, eventually when it happens, it will be in a neutral location? And do you think we'll see fans at all in the stands this season?
That's an easy one. I don't think we'll see fans in the stands.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people are going to be comfortable in a crowd.
I mean,
I'm thinking of that. I live in New York City, just outside the city. I don't know when I'm going to be comfortable getting on the 4 train again. So, you know, crowds are going to be an issue, I think, for a while. I could see a mix. Essentially, look at the map, the COVID-19 map come July, and decide, okay, these teams can play in their home cities, and these teams have to play in their complexes. Now, that's not even all that easy, too, because it's Arizona in July.
Yeah.
There's a reason Chase Field had to be an indoor park, you know? So, you know, we'll see what that looks like. But I think if it comes back late summer, it'll be in kind of a hybrid set based on where it is safest, where you're not taking resources and things like that. And I think at most you're getting, like I said, 65, 70-game season. I don't like the idea. To me, there's no difference between an 80-game season and a 120-game season. Like, it's already a fractured season. It's already going to be remembered as the COVID-19 season. So I don't like the idea of playing into November. Just play 2 months. Have an expanded playoffs, and that's that. I don't think the idea they got to play all these doubleheaders and force to get as many games as possible, I don't think that's the best idea. Nobody's going to remember this as anything but the broken season. Just let it be broken.
What do you think about if they don't play a season, players getting a year of service?
I was stunned by that. And that to me, you know, I wrote this last week, I thought that was going to be the big fight. If there's no season, what happens? Does Mookie Betts still get to be a free agent? And the owners caved on that. But then when you look at it, you see it was really a trade-off. The players basically traded away undrafted players. You know, kids who are 17 years old and were going to be in the draft this year, kind of sold those guys out. Because what they basically said is, it's only the, you can have just a five-man draft, a five-year round draft, and you only have to pay them 10% of their bonus. So all of the service time and the money that the owners fronted the current players basically got taken out of the amateurs' pockets. So it was an uncomfortable trade-off for me, because I never like when professional sports unions sell out the teenagers, and that's what the union did here. And every union's been doing it for 40, 50 years. I get that, but that was the problem. But that was part of the deal. MLB got service time in the case of no season as part of that trade-off.
We're talking with Joe Sheehan, Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter, SI, Baseball America. Joe, you know, when we talked about this Arizona plan earlier in the show, and, you know, it did have me have some optimism. And then I read the news about what happened in the Japanese League. They were scheduled to come back April 24th. Now that's been pushed back to at least late May, if not June. Do you think, you know, the Japanese League, when that country has obviously dealt with this well, having a setback, do you think that factors into MLB's plans?
I think that does. I think the experience of the NBA, you know, the Rudy Gobert thing that kind of kicked all this off.
Yep.
What tolerance is going to be? How much are players going to want to play if a player, a teammate was sick? What do you do at that point? Can you continue the schedule? Because, you know, the thing with the NBA was you go back and say, okay, Rudy Gobert played this team, this team, this team, this team. If you're a team that's, if you've been sharing a clubhouse with a guy and he tests positive, do you really want to go back in that clubhouse until it's been completely clean and disinfected? I think there are a lot of issues there that we haven't even begun to deal with, but I have a really hard time. And this to me is probably the best reason to not start. I don't know what you do if a player tests positive.
Right.
And I think just the law of large numbers tells me that eventually somebody's going to test positive. And what do you do then? And I think it would be worse to start the season, play 4 weeks, and then Anthony Rendon, you know, I don't want to put a name on it, but some player comes down with it.
Right.
And what do you do? I think that's a bigger problem than not playing at all.
And then if, God forbid, you know, you take it to another extreme. I know you don't, you know, this is not as common for, you know, a young athlete, but God forbid one of the players would die from this.
Right.
Then, I mean.
What happens if five guys on a team get it?
Right.
I mean, we're already in a situation where, like, how many, I mean, are we going to have a minor league system this year? I don't see. All of the arguments for playing in the major league level are basically, we can put these games on TV.
Right.
There isn't that argument in the minor leagues. Minor leagues are all about attendance, and I don't think you're going to have a whole lot of people showing up at minor league games. So you've got the problem of, if a bunch of guys get sick, who does that team call on to actually play the rest of the game? There are 1,000. And like I want to make this point. I have no problem with MLB and the MLBPA sitting in a room and just throwing out all of these ideas. That's what they're supposed to do. And I got to try to – I think, like I say, one of the things I've come to today is trying not to dunk on these ideas so much, because they're just trying. They're right. Doing their job. We shouldn't even hear about these conversations. But to me, and I said this, once I said this on Twitter maybe a month ago, it feels like a month ago, guys. Yeah. It's not even a week ago. I think the next major league game will be next March. I just think you can't get past all of the barriers we're talking about today. I think the next league to start up, the PGA, I guess, wants to play in 6 weeks. God bless them.
I think PGA can pull it off. I really do.
To me, golf and tennis are the two best, just because you have some natural distancing there. But you also have all of the other problems with, there are a lot of poorly paid people involved in the production of a PGA Tour event, even without fans. There's a lot of poorly paid people producing a tennis match. So that problem still exists. Travel becomes an issue for both of those, because you're bopping around all over the country, all over the world in some cases. Will international players even be able to get into the country to play some of these events? So there's a lot of stuff there, but the PGA Tour could happen, but I think the NFL is probably the best position. They're the furthest away, time-wise, from with the actual pandemic. We'll be hopefully closer to treatment options. We'll be hopefully closer to a vaccine, if not having one, certainly. And it's the fewest number of games. It's only 16 games, and you could conceivably push that into February and March. You could also shorten the season to 12 games. I think the NFL will be the next pro sports that we actually get.
Wow. Hey, you may be right. Who knows? That's pretty depressing.
Everything always comes up well for the NFL. The NFL is going to be the only sports now because of the draft, and it'll be the next games that we actually get.
Wow. Hey, Joe, last thing. If you're right, and if we have no baseball the rest of this year, how, like, beyond this year and beyond the service time, like, there are going to be after effects in terms of payroll for some of the smaller market clubs. I mean, this is not just an effect on this year. This is going to affect some of these teams for years to come, don't you think?
Yeah. This will be 4 or 5 months worth of articles, you know, once we actually know there's not going to be a season. To me, beyond the business and financial, what about players? What about players who haven't played in 18 months?
Yeah.
Like, what is that going to look like next March? These guys aren't wired to take that much time off. You have players who were coming off injuries last year who will be close to 2 years between playing games. The first pick in the draft last year, Adley Rutschman, a catcher out of Oregon State, will basically have played, you know, a handful of games in the low minors in a 2 year period. It's going to be a really, really hard thing to come back for a lot of players. And a lot of players are going to lose their careers over this. Somebody like Mike Trout, who's in the middle of his prime, maybe he doesn't get to 3,000 hits now. Maybe he doesn't get to 700 homers now because he loses that big year. There's just a million effects that once we know the season's gone, we can talk about that. But that's going to be a big deal when we look at baseball history.
No doubt, Joe. Great stuff, man. Good insight. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, fellas. Stay safe.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.